This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
It's time to be taken on a journey on the DJ Mac Travel Show, only on Plains FM.
Welcome to the show. I'm Douglas Mack, and this is the DJ Mack Travel Show on Plains FM 96.9.
80 miles from Wellington, New Zealand, a friendly invasion for Brandsbeth Sheep Station by delegates to the Commonwealth Parliamentary Conference. Away from the varied issues of the conference table, the visitors wander informally through the spacious grounds. Hosts Mr. and Mrs. Hugh Beetham greet Australia's Dan Curtin. Prominent among the delegates is New Zealand Prime Minister Holyoake. Leonard Hawley, Western Australia, and Ernest Heathcote from Zambia. Nigerian delegate Alhaji Obisasan. Specially arranged field demonstrations include displays of shearing and aerial top dressing. Representing Great Britain, Dame Joan Vickers watches the station sheepdogs on a mustering job. A day off for delegates from affairs of state.
Welcome to the show, everyone. So we've had a bit of an interesting start from way back in the past, in the early 1950s. So Brandsbeth Station and Masterton Wire Wrapper, that's where we are today. And why are we talking about that? Well, as you're aware, I own a company called Identity Tours, and Brandsbeth was one of the first places that we operated a tour to when our business was based in Wellington. We took a small group of retired people from Wellington to visit Brandsbeth Station, and we had a morning tea on the front lawn of this grand homestead in the Wairarapa. And it was a very interesting day. I had talked to Edward Beetham on the phone a number of times before arriving, but had never met the man before we got there. And one of the funny questions that had a group of elderly people, and they'd had received a bit of information about where they were going and what we were up to that day. And I always remember this very interesting question that was asked by a lady who had obviously had not read a lot of the information about what we were up to today, because she asked Edward how long he had owned or lived on the Brandsbeth Station. And he was a little bit, I think, taken back, but he sort of thought 65 years. And that was the age of Edward at the time. He was 65. He had been born on the station, and the family has owned the station or the land that the house now sits for since 1856. So, let's get started and have a little bit of a look around at this property. So a lot of the information that you're about to receive has been sourced from the Heritage New Zealand, Heritage New Zealand, or heritage.org.nz. So, and it is a Category 1 listed property. So, and it is privately owned. And it, like I said before, it's based in Masterton. So in 1856, a man called Jack Hutton and four Beetham brothers drove 500 sheep to a remote area of the Wairarapa, approximately, I think it's around about 20 minutes or so from Masterton, to start breaking in their 4,000 hectare leasehold. So back in those days, leasehold was a very interesting situation, is if you had animals still on the property approximately 12 months after, you could still claim the land. And that's the previous people of Brandsbeth were unable to sort of account for the animals that they still had on the land, and so they lost the lease, and that became part of the Jack Hutton and the Beetham boys' estate as such. It was all, much of the land was heavily forested, and this became part of Brandsbeth itself. So there had been a number of amount of clearings and fires which had been created by the Maori population in the area. So they'd had set fire to the native bush in seasonal type operations and clearing the land as well. And that is quite an important part of why some buildings still stand at the homestead itself. The oldest building standing there is a weir. And the reason why it's still there, it was built in 1856, between 1856 and 1858, and that was the first accommodation part of the actual property, is because of the fire. So many of the buildings that have been built from timber that had not suffered a fire have rotted away because of the sap content and parts of the way the tree is made up of. But the trees that made up the weir and some of the first buildings on the site had suffered a fire, and so therefore the sap content has been destroyed, and so therefore has preserved the wood. And so when we were at the station, that is the first building that Edward showed us, which was the original building, the weir, and there was cooking facilities and stones and just a small like camping ground off to the side. And then there was the main stables area. So this part of the property was the functional part of the residence. So you have the main estate or the main home, and then you have the buildings off to one side, the stables and the servicing parts of the whole property. And of course they're painted red and with white trim and obviously white sort of Georgian or sort of boxy type square windows. It was really, really cool place to be. And then, of course, there was the main house. So at its height, Brandsbeth had approximately over 300 staff working on the site. And around the actual homestead, they had around about 100 residents that would live in that type of area. So by the late 1890s, the station had basically got control of the wild dogs, rabbits and wild pigs. And so they were now by basically becoming quite a well-established business. And Hugh, under the management of Hugh Beetham, who is Edward Beetham's father. So Brandsbeth Station was the largest sheep station in the Wairarapa, had approximately 24,000 hectares or 59,000 acres, and it employed hundreds of workers, like I said before. So approximately 100 people lived in the vicinity of the actual homestead itself, and the surrounding property then had other slightly smaller areas. But in the midsummer season, they would have around 300 people working for them. So by the 1900s, the future of the station was in jeopardy. This was because of the way the government was moving forward with big land development. So as we are aware, New Zealand was obviously part of the Commonwealth, but we were trying, we were not wanting to be set up like big land gentry sort of situations where the man of the house and big land masses. It was not really designed for that. And so they started at sort of looking at some of these big sheep stations and started to move on changing the way that they were governed. So in 1905, they began to impose divisions of the run. So the Beethams divided their station up, and soon after Hugh Beetham employed a notable architect. So they were looking... So they downsized the size of the properties so that they kept the government happy. And so where the buildings on the site at this stage are classed as Victorian, and it is a classic Victorian sheep station. Just a note, Queen Victoria died on the 22nd of January of 1901. So that's when the main service buildings of Brandsbeth were in full production. At this stage, their main house was not built. There was a house there, but they then extended it. And then they employed an architect who was Joshua Charlesworth, who was a well-known architect in Wellington, and he constructed the magnificent Brandsbeth homestead. So why is Brandsbeth so important? Well, it has a number of things about it in the way it's designed. So if you go and search Brandsbeth's homestead, or if you look on the internet and look for place, put something like Masterton Homesteads, it'll start showing up there. And it's got a castle type turret to the front of it. And then to the right hand side is a older structure, which is part of the original building, which has then been added to. And then it's to the left of the castle's turret of such, is the newer structure. Now, originally, there'd been a number of earthquakes in the Wairarapa, and so they had changed the design of the house. So all the chimneys for the heating and cooking for the facility were all on the outside walls because previous structures had been destroyed by chimneys falling over that were inside the building. And so there has been an earthquake, and so now the chimneys are no longer, they fell away from the building in this earthquake, and they are now have a concrete base where the main fireplace would be, and then like a piping work, like a flue type of design that goes up the side of the house. So when we were at Brancebeth, which was approximately back in 2012, we discovered a property that is relatively the same as what it was at least 50 years ago. And we discovered Edward, who is a great, great chap, and he is still alive, and someone who's lived there all his life. We just sat out in the garden, and we had a cup of tea and some scones that were created for us, and then we started to have a wander around. So basically gave a bit of a talk about how the property had come to be and what was going on with it now and the future and so forth. So the main part of it was a working sheep farm. It's Victorian working sheep farm, and it's classed as a pastoral heritage of New Zealand. So it has quite significant, but there are other parts of the property and what was going on at the time that's even more important. So in describing what I'm going to describe next, I'm not saying that the property is sort of cluttered or hoarded, but of hoarding activity of such, but there's nothing really thrown away. So it's not untidy, it's well kept and it's well maintained, but simply things have not been thrown away. So in the stable area, they had purchased a car, did no longer need a horse and buggy, so the buggy was just basically put into the stable area, and that's where it still sits. It's still sitting there. It's well maintained. It's not rusting or rotting or sort of falling apart, but it's just sitting there. All the equipment to tie the horse to the buggy and so forth is all still there. When you go into the accommodation part of the stables where the stable hands are working and we're living, the same thing. The doors no longer needed so many people to maintain horses for transport, and so therefore the doors have just been closed. And so on the walls are certificates of horses that have won in the AMP shows and the Wairarapa, and just paperwork and bookwork that relates to the time. So, but it wasn't cluttered, if you know what I mean. It was just, we don't need to use this building anymore, and so we're not going to get rid of anything, and so we've kept it as it is. The other part of Brancebeth that is quite important in that is that it has had a library. So the Beetham family produced a library for their employees to read and for them to educate themselves. But it was a Victorian library, so it was based around people, men and women, working for an estate or a big property or in a family. So the books were based somewhat around working for the man and not so much on commerce, but more on social and more ideas around, not so much commerce as such. And that library is now being held at Victoria University in Wellington. So it's part of the Brancebeth and Beetham collection. Moving into the house is relatively very original. There has been no changes made to the house, so it hasn't been updated to a significant amount of it is an original state. So the sofas are from the 1950s and a lot of the decor and so forth of the house when it was built in 1905. So there has been property on there, buildings and activity happening in the same property since 1856. One of New Zealand's largest eucalyptus trees and the oldest is also planted in the grounds. And the house, of course, is very imposing, so it's up on a bit of a rise, and then you basically sort of drive up to the house and you're sort of climbing a bit of an embankment or a rise to get up to the house. It is pretty spectacular, and it's well worth a visit. So it is actually open to the public if you make an appointment. And if you were to go and see, ask Edward if you could have a look around, you'd probably have to make an appointment to see. And that's what basically what we did. We've seen, sort of found out some information about it, and then we went and sort of made contact with Edward to see if we would wanted to, if we could please go and have a look. So the other part that Identity Tours was up to with the property is that we were trying to market it to cruise ship passengers. So we were looking at being able to pick up cruise ship passengers coming into Wellington, take them across into the Wairarapa, and then have a look around a true New Zealand sheep station, and then returning back to Wellington in the afternoon for people to sail away. So that's how I found out a lot of information about the property. But there is not just the property itself. So we'll probably move from Brancebeth. It is well worth a visit. Basically do a bit of searching on the website and have a look around. But the best one is Heritage New Zealand. That is one that has got a lot of properties, and if you search Brancebeth. So Brancebeth is Brancepeth. You'll also come up with a small village in northern England. So and if you put in Homestead or Masterton Homesteads, you'll come up with a number of pretty spectacular properties around the Wairarapa area. But let's have also move on to the Wairarapa. So as you're aware, I was living in Wellington, and so on the weekends, if the Wellington weather, which can be sometimes a little bit diabolical, you'd travel across the Rimutaka Hills into the Wairarapa. So I lived in two places in Wellington. One was in Porirua around Plumerton, and the other place was in Upper Hutt. So Upper Hutt, Lower Hutt, and then you've got Petonian type Wellington. And sometimes you'd drive from Upper Hutt heading to Wellington, and it would be a glorious, fantastic day in Upper Hutt, and you get to Wellington and it's raining and it's windy and it's horrible. So you'd turn around and go to the Wairarapa, and the Wairarapa has a completely different weather pattern to Wellington, and some of it is actually quite like Canterbury. So it's in a valley type environment, and so let's have a bit of an idea of what we're doing there. So as you come across the Rimutaka Hill, you come into a small town called Featherston. Featherston was really created. It was a small country town, but in World War II, there was a big US military type camp there as well. Moving along, you head to Martinborough. So Martinborough is quite famous for a lot of wineries. So there's a lot of wineries in that area, and it has a lovely small town with a square. So it's really set up like an English style country type village, and has a number of old colonial buildings there. But there's a number of wineries in a small compacted area, so they're quite easy. Some are easy to walk to, and some are also relatively easy to drive around as well, but they're all in relatively close proximity. From there is Greytown, which is heading north on State Highway 2, heading towards Masterton. And so Greytown, there are a lot of antique shops and very quirky sort of boutique type shops, from small cafes to restaurants. A lot of people in Wellington have holiday type country houses there, or sort of they're older cottages or small properties, and they have them as weekend sort of holiday places to go to. Next town, so if we just look at Greytown, is a great place to stop. It's also a great place just for a destination. So like if you were living in Wellington and you wanted to get out in the countryside, people normally go to Greytown for a coffee and sort of have a look around the shops and see what's going on over there. And of course the weather in summer is quite warm and can be a lot better than Wellington during certain times of the year. Moving on, we go up to Carterton. So Carterton is a lot bigger, and there's a little bit more town-related as farming servicing sort of town. So there's more supermarkets, more farming-type businesses there, but also has a smaller number of sort of boutique, sort of nicer shops. And then you get into Masterton. So Masterton is a much bigger town. It is a much bigger service sort of town, and it's for the Wairarapa. And it's got a lot of history to it. And there's also a railway. So there's a railway line goes from Wellington all the way up to Napier, and also goes through the Manawatu Gorge. So you can catch a train to from Wellington to Masterton, and it is not a, it's quite a nice train, and but it doesn't run very frequently. So just look at the timetables to make sure that you don't want to get to Masterton and find you can't get back. So you could be a bit stuck in the Wairarapa. So the Wairarapa has a lot to offer. It is very, very different, and it's some of it, it looks very, very English. Some of it is probably a little bit like around Lincoln, the way Lincoln looks with some of the trees that are planted around in that area. Another place to sort of head to is actual Castle Point, which has got a lighthouse, and it's quite wild. It is the east coast of the North Island there, and so it is the Pacific. But it does, it's quite nice for swimming as long as the weather is right, but it's not something that you want to do. We won't want to stay in the water too long because it's got the southern currents going through there too. So it can be quite warm, but the water can be quite cool. But you can drive your vehicle onto the beach there, walk up to the lighthouse, which is well worth a look. And once again, it's all relatively sheep farming country or dry sort of beef. There's not a lot of dairy in that area at the moment. Okay, so the next thing about the Wairarapa is events. So there's Wings Over the Wairarapa, which is an air festival. It's at the Hood Airfield, which is an airfield in the Masterton area. This is where Peter Jackson has property around this area as well as James Cameron. And that is part of, they've got a World War One. Based around a lot of World War One stuff, based around aircraft and tanks. And it's also very not as well established or set up like Omaka is in Blenheim, but it's around the same sort of thing. But these planes are replicas. They've been built by Peter Jackson and co. And they're all flyable. So they will be on display at Wings Over the Wairarapa. So the Wings Over the Wairarapa is celebrating 20 years of this air festival. It is the largest aviation event in the North Island. And it basically has the beautiful Wairarapa as the background. It's on Saturday the 23rd of February and also Sunday the 24th. And it features World War One and World War Two aircraft, agricultural helicopters, military and civil aircraft display. So just remembering that Ahakia is just over the Rimutakas, so that the Royal New Zealand Air Force is also based there as well. So that's the Black Falcons. So we've got a group of people that have showed some interest of going there, and we'll be based in over there on those dates. So that's the 23rd and the 24th of February, which is the Wings Over the Wairarapa. Okay, so that's basically the show for today. If you are interested in finding out more information about Brandsbeth and you would like to take a visit there, then definitely contact us at Identity Tours, and we'll be able to maybe put a group together and go and have a visit. If you're interested in looking at the Wings Over the Wairarapa or any parts of the Wairarapa, then definitely give us a call and we'll be able to give you a hand on what to do, how to get there, and what's the best options. Definitely, and like I say, definitely have a search around and have a look. And thank you for the show, and we'll talk to you soon. So if you liked today's show and would like to hear it again, please go to plainsfm.org.nz and download the podcast by searching the DJ Mac Travel Show. Or if you would like more information and would like to talk to someone, maybe myself, then please call us on 0800 196633, and that's at Identity Tours here in Christchurch. Thank you and have a good week.